Blog Talk Radio.
Leah. Hi, Judy.
Leah, let you and I host the show.
Okay, but you were supposed to say Rapture Retards. That's what you were supposed to say.
Oh, welcome to Rapture Retard Radio, where I am the retard warrior bride.
And you have to remind people that you're powerful because you're in control of mute.
Oh, and I'm a powerful retard because I have power over the mute button, and I have kicking power. I'm a powerful retard. Oh, my goodness. How was, Leah, how was your day?
Hey, it's not bad. I'm quite happy. It's Friday, right? We're super happy about this.
The day before the fish fry. Fridays have always been that way for me now, you know, because of Luco.
Oh, yeah.
I always think of the fish fry.
Oh, yeah. And, like, what? March is almost over, so, like, you just keep checking off days. It's awesome, right? You're like,
yeah.
It is. Because, like, eventually there's going to be no more check marks, and then you're just done, and you have a calendar left for all the rest of the people, and they can see you were waiting, and you checked off everything, and now you're gone. That's awesome.
I know. And my own calendar at home, so the left behinds can come look at it, every day on it I wrote translation for the month of March. I just need them to know where.
Yeah.
I know most people don't use real calendars anymore, but I still like to have a real calendar in my house, you know, hanging on the wall. I like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. So how was your day?
It was a good day. Wait, Katie's here. Katie, is that
you?
Hey, hey.
What's up?
Oh, my God. I loved your Cinderella song. Leah, did you hear her Cinderella song?
No, I was working.
It's awesome.
Katie, that's great.
Frozen.
Did you sing a Cinderella song? What did you do?
Well, you'll have to watch my video. I wish I could sing it again, but I don't really remember what I said. It's on YouTube. It's basically, have you heard of the movie Frozen?
Yes,
it's
yes.
The new Disney movie. I just kind of changed up the lyrics to Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And you should check it out. It's funny. So.
I need a spoiler, Katie. I need a spoiler.
Nah, you'll just have to see it.
What's that? What's good, Katie?
So how's it been going?
I'm sorry. I'm happy. It's Friday. I told you to do that. Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah.
Oh, so, Tana, you're on the line, right? Everybody knows Tana, Leah, and
I just saw that movie, God Is Not Dead, is open, though.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Well, Katie, want to hear something funny, Katie?
Please.
Can you guys hear the show okay in the chat room and stuff? Are you guys hearing the show? Because people are telling me they're hearing commercials.
What?
Sometimes.
Online, the commercials just keep popping in like two different places, and I just keep putting it on mute or closing
it.
Yeah,
it's really annoying. It's really annoying. Oh.
Yeah. So go ahead, Rojo. Do what Raina said in the chat room. All right, Katie, I loved your song so much that I asked Jason to make it as an intro song.
Are you serious?
so good.
Okay.
And so he said, well, it's kind of hard for him to take it from a YouTube video and put it in MP3 format. So he said, ask Katie to put it on her iPad and then send it to him. And then he can put it on as a song that we can play sometimes as an intro on the show. Because that's how much I love that song you did.
Okay, let me see if I guess I'll just text it to him.
Yeah, do something like that. It was really anointed. If you guys haven't, you should go listen to it. It was just, oh my gosh, it was wonderful, Katie. That made my day.
Did Nate like it?
Yeah, he did.
Behind it from Martina.
So you guys, I have a story to tell. Does anyone want to share anything? I have a quick story to tell.
No. Go for it. I don't have anything.
Okay. Let me just say hi to Alana. Hi, Alana.
Hey, baby girl. How are you?
Good. I loved your inbox that you sent me. Oh, my goodness. Alana, she swims in waters, people. She swims in deep waters. One of these days, I just want to read one. Can I read one of your inboxes one day? They're so amazing.
I have so much fun. I write them actually as I am listening to the show. The show has such a vibe that it brings forth, and I've said this before, and it allows your heart and your spirit to just soar. So I thank you for all the inspiration. I caught a piece of the morning show with Jason. You guys had some excellent, excellent dates. I loved it. So party on, my loves. I am right here with you.
I'm going to keep you unmuted in case you have to jump in and say anything, okay? Because we like to hear you and all your energy.
Much love, y'all. I will pop in if God speaks.
Okay. Love you.
Mwah.
Mwah. Okay, so you guys know our new schedule. We have different hours here at the house. And can everyone hear me okay? I'm using my sister's iPhone, so I shouldn't have problems. Am I cutting out or anything? Is it all good?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So, first of all, I just want to say hi to Jason Chambers, who's in the chat room. I'm so excited. He never joins us in the evening show, so I hope he calls in, too. And by the way, you guys, Jason Chambers gets to sleep in now on the weekend, so I'm going to do the weekend morning with Destin, Jason, evening show on the weekend, and that'll be fun for him. So anyway, he says more people call in at night, so it's funner for him. Anywho, no, Chris just asked me, no, I will not be coherent in the morning. I won't. I just won't. So that's why I need people to call in the morning. So it'll be a very scary thing if nobody calls in and I just woke up. Okay, just warning you. Maybe I'll start preaching in my sleep. Have you heard of those people? They're true stories where they preach in their sleep. welcome, the captain, in the chat room. We have someone called the captain. Well, oh, he just disappeared. Never mind. Okay, here's my story. So my son and I, last night, we both started weeping aloud, okay, because we have rapture-centric disease really bad over here. Okay, we do. We just have it really bad. And I know Katie has it this bad, and I said, now I know what Katie feels like, because I've always been wanting him to come really bad, don't get me wrong, but my actual physical heart was hurting, and I'm pretty sure it's not because I gained 35 pounds and I eat ice cream all the time. but it really bad, you guys. It was so heavy on my heart. Like, I thought I was going to die, but the funny thing was my son felt the same way, and he's only 10. He's like, Mom, we were both weeping and hugging each other. We're like, God, you have to come. And my son said, God, you have to come or you have to take this off of us. You have to either take this off of us and lighten it up a little bit, is what little John said. He goes, God, you have to – I wish he'd come give the testimony, but he gets kind of shy with the radio. He's listening, though. But he said, God, You have to lighten this up, or you have to take us, one or the other. But you have to do it because we can't handle this. And he said that through tears, and I said it, and we cried a good 15 minutes. And as we were crying to God, we were telling him how much we love him and how much we trust him and how much we know he never lied and we know he's coming, but it hurts. It's really hard to wait. We really want to see his face. We really don't want to be here. This place is not our home. And it was really great. We did it. Well, it wasn't great at the time. It was heart-wrenching, honestly, you guys. It was. And he was crying, and I was crying. And usually I feel really bad for him, so I cry tears for him. But I was so self-centered in my own pain that I wasn't even crying for my own son at this point. I was crying for myself. I was like, come, you know. And then so then I felt guilty on top of that, being a parent. Like, I felt bad just not even feeling bad for him as much as I did myself. And it was a super spiritual experience. We both asked the Lord to lighten the rapture-centric condition or come, either way, but we couldn't live anymore if he did it like this. And can you hear me, you guys? Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Anyway, hold on. I see another caller. I'll just unmute people. Okay, so it was really, really heavy on our hearts, this rapture-centric disease. And, you know, and so God did, after 15 minutes of crying out to God and telling him how much we love him and we trust him, but we really need him to get us, he did it, you guys. We looked at each other, and it was a miracle. We went, it's a miracle. And he lightened our load. He lightened our load. And, of course, he's going to come. But it was really funny. When we were begging him to come, we stopped ourselves because we know that God knows what he's doing. So I just said, Lord, but we know, you know, you're going to come at your perfect timing, not a minute too soon, not a minute too late. And we don't want to ask you to come before your perfect timing because we know this is going to be hard for you. We know that you know what you're doing. And so I really felt, as we were crying out, this is how strong I felt. I really felt he would come just to get us. That's how much he loved us. That's why I instantly stopped myself. And I instantly said, but God, we know what you're doing. We trust you. Don't do it because we're begging you to come. Do it, you know, I know it's weird, you guys, but that's how I felt. Like, I just wanted God to know that we trust him. And same with little John. We don't want to beg him to come when it's, you know, we know he's coming. But we want him to take his time and do what he needs to do. So, oh, Katie got off. Okay, so anyway, just every now and then say uh-huh and amen if you're on the line, okay? Can someone do that to make me feel better?
Uh-huh, amen.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Jason. I hate talking to the wall, you know. It just feels awkward.
You just have to imagine that there's a huge audience that you're standing in front of, and then you'll start preaching with the fire in no time.
Okay, all right, thanks. Okay, so basically what happened was God just, he lightened our load, and we hugged each other with joy, and then we finally went to bed about an hour later, but he took it, you guys. So, you know, it really is a true condition. God's not kidding. If you're rapture-centric, every now and then it gets so heavy that it's almost like you feel like if you're going to be here another 10 minutes, you're going to die. That's how we were. Like, we felt like we were going to just die because we wanted to come so bad and because this world has nothing for us. So I just wanted to share that personal little hope experience we had at our house last night. And, you know, we woke up in a good mood. We're still rapture-centric. You know, we're dying for him to get here, but he kind of lightened up. He lightened up our pain a little, you know.
Awesome, though. That's really awesome because you had something. You guys are both dealing with something. You asked the Lord to lift it, and he did. That's a miracle.
Yeah, it is. It's a miracle. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Amen.
You know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I wasn't trying to cut you off.
Oh, I don't have anything to say. I just said that's my little story. That's it. Please share.
It's kind of neat. The Lord's been showing me this. I asked him, he's kind of showing me even more about this, even though I don't see how they're perfectly related yet, but he told me to call into the show and share. But there's something to, you guys remember the other night when we all did the I'm a Powerful Warrior Bride and roared?
Yeah.
You know, that was the Lord's guidance that did that. And you know, he wants you to really accept that. You know, he's told me some things like me being a general and stuff like that in heaven. That's very hard for me to accept down here, and I've argued with him. I'm like, Lord, this is not the time to be telling me this stuff. You know, I don't know what to do with that, you know. And, you know, he's shown me that it's to keep your thoughts heavenly bound as opposed to bound, you know, as opposed to looking at the world. But once you, it's so important for you to really take that in, out of love, accept that you are a powerful warrior bride in him. That's what he's raised you up for. And accepting that, he's got more to show you after that. He may show you this or he may show you that, but what he really put on me today was once you've accepted, it's, you know, there's certain things you can accept here and certain things you have no idea how to deal with, but truly accepting that he's raised you up to be that powerful warrior bride and standing in his strength and in his love, he's going to reveal more to you. And for each person, that's different because each one of our walks is different. But he has raised us all up to be those powerful warrior brides here together. And so me personally, I'd highly recommend roaring and asking Lord for that strength and asking him how you're supposed to accept that. Because he shows you more, and I can't even share it. I can't, and that's what's so crazy is I'll share anything. I share my walk. That's all I do. But I don't want to pollute what you seek, but be open-minded because it's taken me several days to even really hear him. And the other thing was that what he really hit me with here, just I was talking to Judy on the phone here before the show, and actually real quick, Judy or anybody, do you have anything you want to add to that, accepting that the Lord has raised you up to be a powerful warrior bride?
No, I just say it every day. Say it out loud. Other than that, I agree. Say it out loud. Know who you are. But, yeah, finish. I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, you know, we've all talked about, you know, Judy's helped a lot of people break down those walls. The Lord has used Judy to help a lot of people break down their religious walls. And the world telling them, oh, you can't do this, and oh, the Bible says you can't do that, and the world's interpretation of all these things. And he's used Judy and all of us together here to help with that, to help empower each other and to be freed from condemnation. And, you know, we all have humility, and that's the reason condemnation is such an easy target against us, is when you're humble, it's easy to be hard on yourself, too. But when you serve him, you don't serve him out of shame. Okay, I'm speaking kind of directly here. For me, what he just showed me this evening was that you serve the Lord out of love for the Lord, not out of fear, not out of shame, not out of, you know, I smoked a cigarette. Now the Lord hates smoking. The Lord hates that. No, it's you make mistakes. You're human. Plain and simple. You're in the flesh. You're going to sin. But that's what Jesus is there for. He covers those sins. It doesn't mean you have to lean into grace. It doesn't mean you should try to capitalize on him dying on the cross. But when you're serving him, you're serving him truly out of love. You know, the best way I can do it is my grandmother. When we'd stay the night at her house, she'd make us breakfast, and it made her day to have us grandkids sitting in there with her at her table and for her to serve us and make us breakfast. She loved it. She just absolutely loved that. And she did it because she just loved us, and she loved doing things for us. It's that same thing. You know, sometimes we do things, you know, if anybody's married or anything like that, you know, or maybe you saw your folks do it, is sometimes you do things just to keep the peace. sometimes you just have to do things to keep the peace. You're like, well, I don't agree with this, but I'm going to do it because it helps keep the peace. And it's because you love that person. But other times you're doing things because you want someone to feel special. And so sometimes the Lord's doing something in you just so you feel special. Sometimes he's doing them things to you to make sure that you don't fall into a hole, some, you know, all these things. But when you're serving him, don't do it out of condemnation. Don't do it out of, oh, he hates that. You know, you're not, when you, a lot of people look at it as I'm denying my flesh things because the Lord gets mad about these things. And I kind of look at it as that, you know, I don't not clean that, you know, I clean the house not because I don't want my wife being mad, it's because I respect her. I love her, and, you know, I need to clean the kitchen because, you know, that's what she likes. She likes a clean kitchen, so it's good to always have that kitchen clean. And I love her, and I'll do those things. And it's not really a big deal. But it's not me denying myself the time that I could have used, you know, during cleaning that kitchen, I could have done other things. I kind of look at it as the same way with the Lord. Serving him out of love. Lord, I love you. Lord, how can I serve you today? You know, how can I do that? And he's doing the same for you. Does that make sense?
She's yeah, I was
walking
on
back. In from her kitchen.
Yes. I had you on mute, but amen, yes.
Yeah, it's the not doing it out of that whole, I suck and the Lord hates this, so this is why I'm going to do this or that's why I'm going to do that. You know, it's truly just doing it because you love them. You know, what would you do for someone you loved? And I think that makes your, to me, he hit me with a knife, and I had the Spirit on me when he was showing me this. And it's just completely over the top. The other, my final thing, if anybody wants to comment on that, please do.
Anybody,
not everybody at once. I feel like I'm going flat here tonight.
Oh, no, you're not. It's good. Okay.
So
I know.
The Lord had shown my wife here a while back, said that the Bible is a mirror, not a window. And I thought that was a really neat statement because you use it to not look through it, don't look through it at other people, but to look at it yourself. And then the Lord showed her this today, so I'm going to read her text to me. So she says, so remember when Jesus told me that the Bible is a mirror, not a window? So the Lord just showed her that it has a double meaning. Not only is it as a mirror to see where we are, or to see where we as flesh need work, but the mirror also reflects Jesus and his nature, as in his nature in us, back to us as a reminder of who we really are. And I thought basically, you know, point one, who we are by nature, and second, who we are by grace. I'm going to be honest with you. That's what I had. And it's kind of going flat here. What have you done to this evening show?
People, I don't know who's talking there. Let's try that one. All right, there it went. I picked the right one. Cool. That must have been Keith. I had to mute you, Keith.
Keith gets to be in a chatty Kathy. I just thought it was some pretty good stuff. You know, we all struggle with maybe accepting certain things from the Lord, you know, but accepting that you are that powerful warrior bride, I think is a huge step for us, each of us individually. You know, serving him out of love, and then understanding that the Bible is a mirror not only to us but also to show us Jesus. Those three things were really cool, and I hope that it blessed somebody, sits right with their spirit.
It did. It blessed me, and it also blessed Tori in the chat room. He's saying, Jason, I'm listening. It's good. So, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, any nugget anyone has to share is a blessing in this last hour, but that was a special blessing, Jason. Thank you so much. Jason, what have you
Amen.
Done?
Amen.
What have you done, Jason? Did you do anything differently in your life today as you're waiting for the Lord? Is there anything profound that you can share with us?
Actually, I'm learning to really take the time to just go and sit and be with the Lord. And nothing else, not talking on the phone, not on the internet, not listening to the Bible, and I just drive out to the lake and I sit there. And I just talk to the Lord like he's sitting there with me in the passenger side seat, and I just sit there and talk to him. And, you know, he wants that. I mean, for me personally, I mean, Pat has said this to you. He wants that one-on-one time. I mean, I don't know how, you know, for me and my walk, I can say it's good, but I couldn't imagine how me passing this one on could actually be harmful. You know, not, you know, just go and have a real conversation. Just, you know, take an hour out of your day and sit down with them. You know, go somewhere. To me, I like driving, so being out of the lake and just sitting there watching the waves and talking to the Lord, it's just kind of like me and him out in the middle of nowhere, you know. And just sitting there and having that open conversation and just talk to him about it all. You know, mm-hmm. Lord, I don't understand all this. I'm trying, you know, this and that. And, you know, I miss hearing from you. I miss feeling your spirit. Or I miss, you know, I wish I could hear from you more. What do I need to learn? You know, whatever it is that you know, is in there. Maybe you're struggling financially and say, Lord, I've really been stressing about this. You know, can you take this stress away from me? Just like Judy and John did last night, taking away their stress. You know, he can lift things off of you. You know, we sometimes look for those solutions, and you can just ask the Lord to take the pressure off. So, and he'll do that because it helps you lean into it. But me personally, I spend a lot of time on the shows, and I spend a lot of time on the phone, and then I said spend time with my wife, and you know, that personal one-on-one time away from everything, just talking to him. From your heart, just like you would anybody else. Imagine just sitting there. That's what helped me a lot today.
Awesome.
Yeah, by grace. By grace is the same thing. You know, I really do look at the Lord as my best friend now. And that's a very good way of putting it. Who is by grace? 2013?
Tori from Oregon. Yep. Tori from Oregon. We like him a lot because he eats Tillamook cheese, and that's the home of Tillamook cheese. And yeah, he's a good guy.
But I'll let somebody come on and talk. You know, I had that stuff. It really helped me out. I'm happy to share it. I know that some people it helped, or maybe it just reaffirmed some things that people were already doing. But by all means, bring some other people on, Judy.
Everybody's unmuted. I don't know who 316 is, 247. Would you like to say hi, 316?
Yeah, that's my Skype number.
Oh, then I accidentally muted. Wait, who's 818? Oh, that's Keith. Okay, wait. That's funny. That's hilarious. Okay, then, we're good. I just noticed that. Okay. Well, welcome, Jason. Oh, my goodness. I just noticed that you hung up with your other number, right, Jason?
No, I've been using this one. Oh, you're probably seeing the 316-302 one. That's probably my wife listening from work.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, there's a whole bunch of supernatural things going on. Is anyone on the line wants to share? If not, I'll start sharing some cool inboxes I've gotten. I'm going to go pull those up right now, but would anyone like to share? Again, Jason, thank you. Stay on the line if you have more to say, and we can go back and forth, you and I. I know when we talk on the phone, me and Jason, we're like, we should do this on the radio, but then every time we go on the radio, it's like, I don't know, it doesn't work like it does on a regular phone call, because sometimes me and Jason, we discover gold when we're talking on the phone together.
I'm not so sure everybody could handle our phone conversations when they're really relaxed, Judy. It goes from pretty crazy to all of a sudden, oh, you know what I just saw? I just figured this out. Yeah, so.
I know. I always want us to try to imitate a phone call, but then we get on here and, I don't know, it just doesn't work. It's weird. Probably because God wants other brides to call in. Hint, hint, hint. Okay, so I'm going to read Going Buck Wild's inbox. He said I could read it. So here it is regarding Jesus. Here's a good old-fashioned date set, okay? He is coming around Passover. He ascended up on Passover, and so will we. The 3 days in the tomb is the 3 days of darkness. Jesus appearing in his glorified body represents those who will be appearing in their glorified bodies, 144, in the great trib. 3 weeks away, but he can come any day now. Well, he sent that a week ago, but he said, but he can come any day now, but going Buck Wild thinks he's coming in 3 weeks. So thank you for that beautiful date set. Yeah, the blood moons, yeah. Would you like to share anything, John? So that was a cool inbox. This is really awesome. Hey, I wish Jason at Acts 2:16, Jim, not Jason, Jim would call in, but if Jim doesn't call in, I'm going to read his word he got today. He sent me an inbox, and he thinks it very well could be his last word. So, yes, I believe Jesus is coming today and before the end of the month. But is anyone on the line here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Judy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I just gave you a good old-fashioned date set because God said in addition to today, he'd be giving other dates. I like all the dates in March. Those are my favorite date sets. But I love going Buck Wild, and I wanted to read what God showed him, so that's cool. So Jim from Jim probably just can't call in. He's at work. So he told me, yeah, feel free to read the words that I get on the air because they're to bless the body in addition to his video. So I'm going to read his Friday rapture message right now. Okay, so here it is. God's words to Jim. I have said that you are God's and all of you are my children. Believe it. I've said it more than once. In fact, this is the third time, and you know what that means. A lifetime here in this world feels like a long time. Have you been waiting for me for a long time? You're blessed if you have. Or maybe you have just found out that I'm coming to rescue you from the pending destruction. You are also blessed. Oh, how my other children throughout time have wished they would see the days that you are seeing. I am right at the door. When the door opens, the light will be blinding, beautiful. Some people still do not want to see the light through. Some people still do not want to see the light, though. Many of them love the darkness, and so I'm going to have to show them why that's a bad choice. Wow, I love this. Okay. Do you ever tell your kids to make good choices? Good job. That's good parenting. I'm a good parent, too. I'm going to reward you for your good choices very soon, faithful ones. I love it when you choose me over men. Don't think that you are forsaking me when you choose to love your family and your friends. When you love your brothers and sisters, you are choosing me. If you are reading this, you are my friend. Let your heart be free from all worry. I'm always right here with you. I said here, not there, and I said I am, not I will be. Do you see that there is no separation between you and I? There's nothing you think, say, or do that I do not see, that I do not participate in. I am in everything, and I am everything. Oh, how my children have been led astray in these final days. You would think that I am only a legend, a myth. This is why I treasure your faith, little one. You mean everything to me. I'm not done. You mean everything to me. I'm talking to you right now. See? Can you see me smiling? Can you feel my arms around you? Does it make you cry to know how much I love you? Soon your tears will be gone. I can't wait for that. Soon your tears will be gone, and you will see me just as I am. I am so excited to spend forever with you. I can hardly contain myself. I won't contain myself much longer. You will see and feel my glory, and it will be ours together. Forever begins right now. Isn't that beautiful? So,
awesome,
yeah.
Word.
And you guys, you know, we always say we want Jesus to show up and talk and do a miracle, and that was a miracle right there. Jesus spoke through Jim this morning, and, you know, Jim just had a real strong sense that this could be his last, you know, word because we're leaving. I mean, you know. God also made Luco think that he wouldn't be working at Home Depot. So, you know, Luco's not here with us tonight because he's working, but God led him to believe that he wouldn't be there. He's not going to lose his faith over it. He knows that God's faithful. But, you know, I'm shocked. I'm sure he's shocked that he's at work right now. Did you want to share anything? Anyone on the line? Joe, I have Key. Everyone's on the line. Does anybody want to share?
Oh, I thought somebody was going to talk because I heard somebody clear their throat. I'd love to hear from Joe.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from Joe, too. Wait a minute. Yeah, he's here. Joe, did you want to share anything, sweetie?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Joe. Can you tell us about love last night? Can you talk about the love train you were on?
Oh, last night's love train was amazing. I'm actually a little sick today. I can't see well, but just feeling God's love hard, just went to him and got received and just felt so much love. It just was a beautiful night. It really was. And unfortunately today I'm sick, so I'm just kind of laying back listening, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, Joe, we won't make you talk if you're not feeling well, but... thank you so much.
Thank you all. I'll definitely be listening, and I'll drink something and talk in a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Hope you get better, Joe. Praying for you, brother.
Thank you, Jason.
Joe, that's a bummer. Yeah, he's super sick. Okay. Anyway, Joe sent me a text last night saying that just really sick, and in his house, and yeah, it was wonderful. I said, I know. I love when you're, like, in a fog of God's glory. I know what that's like. Hey, you know, Jason, I thought about something you said, you know, how God just wants to be our friend and how you'll just go on drives with him.
Oh, yeah.
Still there, my buddy?
I'm sorry. I had muted myself.
John's dad is a lot like that before God took him, you know, just be alone, wouldn't be with any media, he just liked being alone with God, and God wanted that a lot with him, so that when you were saying that God's just having you alone, like, just sit, that's what David would do a lot, and that's just, you reminded me a lot of David, you know, but he would do that, and everybody thinks that God, because he's God, that he has no needs. And that's a wrong assumption about your Creator. He actually, just because he's God, you think that he doesn't, you think that he gets everything he wants, but he doesn't. He told me specifically, and I made a video about it, that God doesn't always get what he wants. And he said, you know, he told me, Judy, they think because I'm God, I get everything I want all the time, but I don't. You know, there's people that are going to hell that I created and that I love, and they've not chosen me, and I didn't get what I wanted, you know, but I can't force my love on anyone. So he said, you know, it's not like that. And then he told me, he said that people think that I don't get my feelings hurt. And he showed me how much he gets his feelings hurt. And he's God. And we think because he's God, because he's omniscient, omnipresent, and, you know, he's all-powerful, he's all these things in one, that he doesn't have any feelings. He absolutely does. He absolutely has feelings, and he let me feel the rejection he feels when people pick other people over him. You know, he let me feel that rejection. It was really, I made a video on it. It was very painful. He had to lift it from me, but it's this rejection. It's horrible. God created you for fellowship with him where he could pour his love onto you and give you the best life ever, okay? And when he sees that you are preferring fellowship with somebody else over him, that makes him sad. It hurts his feelings. He feels rejected. Now, he gave you relationships so that you can be blessed. Okay, but God wants us to have our relationships in right priority. The way I can enjoy people around me is because I keep God first. But if I don't keep God first, the people around me start to get on my nerves, and I'm glad God allows that. Because, see, I have to keep, he needs to be my number one. Go to him first. You know, always don't hurt his feelings by preferring to hear what God is doing and saying. Go straight to him. And like Jason's doing, just go on a drive. I don't want anything from God. Most of the time, I just want to be with him. And that's how David was before God took him and translated him. David was that same way. He would just be with God, just be his friend. And sometimes there was no goal in being together. We're so performance-oriented in this world that we think everything has to have a goal. How about just when you have a good friend or a wife or a spouse, you just want to hang out and do nothing. Sometimes that's just what God wants to do. So, you know, just remember, even though God is God and he's all-powerful, he does have feelings, and his feelings do get hurt. And I know it's hard to imagine that, but it's the truth. And he doesn't always get what he wants, guys. So I just wanted to bring that perspective in. Yep.
You're right. It's just that, you know, Judy, you talked about how, you know, if you're sitting there with someone you really are comfortable with and you can sit there in silence, and how that's so cool that you don't feel like you have to fill the air. You know, just inviting Jesus along. I tried to clean my house the other day with the Lord, and it just didn't work for me. I couldn't think about it. I mean, I'm a very task-oriented person, so it's like that's all I do is focus on what I'm doing. But I think that's why it's, you know, just out sitting there talking to him, and you could not asking for this or asking for that. It's just sitting there with him. You know, Pat talks about this one a lot. You know, of him just sit there with him, just talk to him. Just, you know, Judy's like he says, he has needs. The most powerful thing that the Lord ever showed me to give a message on was that the world puts Jesus back on the cross, and he let me feel his rejection, not like anger, but like what Judy was mentioning, that just the same rejected feeling you've had in life. You felt rejected, and to feel Jesus, that was the first idea that I've ever understood, that Jesus does feel rejected in an emotional way. Just it hurts his heart, and where people put him on the cross, and they just put him up there, and they don't want to be his friend. They just want to, it's like out of humility, they can't be close to him, because they think that he's still suffering. He's not. He rose. He right hand of God, you know. And he just wants to be close with you. He just wants to hold you. He wants to, I mean, he wants to shower with you. He wants to, you know, it doesn't matter if you're sitting on the pot going to the bathroom. You can do that with, he created all things. And so it's not like it's creepy. It's not like it's defiled. It's just spending all that time you have. It doesn't mean, you know, maybe you got kids. Maybe you got a busy schedule. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe it's just your drive. Like, hey, I'm going to my drive to work, Lord. Or, hey, guys, I'm going to go have lunch by myself today, because really you're going to go sit down and have lunch with Jesus. And just let it be that, you know. Ask him if he wants some of your sandwich. You'd be surprised what he says when you start asking him this kind of stuff. You know. Just spending that quality time without seeking, without looking for answers, without anything. Just spending it just like you would with anybody else, your best friend, your brother, you know, your God.
You can mute me, Judy. Tana, you can mute me. I'm driving.
Hi, Tana.
Hey, sweetheart.
Hi, I love you. Oh, I'm on my way to work, so go ahead and mute me. I'll listen.
Hi, sweetie.
Bye.
Jason, this is Alana. You are so absolutely spot on, dead on right.
Amen.
Amen. I got to get on that one, because this weight is the most exquisite thing I have ever done. Now, granted, okay, I'm going to get points for adrenal fatigue, because definitely I have that. But, you know what I mean? But this weight is such that you recognize that the next breath that you take, maybe you left, maybe that moment. And that keeps you right there. It keeps your imagination from running all over the place. It keeps your anxieties from leaping out. Just being in that place of waiting with you. And the analogy I was messaging Judy last night was about holding it like expecting at every moment. And at every moment, not expecting anything. have a great love for Paradox.
But no,
it is
really wonderful. Is I can tell you personally that some of the most amazing experiences I've ever had with the Lord is when I least expected it. And
absolutely.
You know, if
yeah.
sometimes, and I'm not, and this is a touchy subject for me to say something on, but sometimes when we're seeking so much, we're being a little selfish. You know, we're seeking for ourselves. Like Judy said, you know, he does need, he has emotions. Be there for him. And, you know, Pat said this. Invite him in and for a hug. Lord, can I help you today? What can I do to bring glory to you? Is there anything I can do to strengthen you? Do you need a hug? Do you need a high five? Do you need a good job? Do you need a, you know, whatever? I know it seems kind of silly. It's been hard for me to accept.
Well, I do it a slightly different way, and this is the way that works for me. It's less personal. And I'm surprised I'm actually going to articulate this, but I guess I'm supposed to. He's asked me to pray for the whole world, for everyone alive, everyone who has passed away, all of humanity. Sometimes I get down to rocks and trees. Really?
Wow.
And the whole
wow.
planet. And that is how I hold it because, these are our waiting skills, boys and girls. The way I hold it is to make it so large and to ask for grace. The hardest thing you will ever do is ask for grace for others when you are getting your butt kicked.
Oh, amen, sister. That's a tough one.
And that's the one that we do every when we're waiting and we're feeling like it's ripping our heart out, then we start to pray for the universe. Oh, you know what's another great one? Pray for Jesus' intentions. Pray for his intentions.
That's
okay. Unique. I pulled that one from, I don't know, some part of my the Catholicism that I adore. But, yeah, pray for him to have what he wants, everything that you want him to be happy. That's what you're praying for. And I get to it, and I'm like, God, I'm praying for you. This is dumb. And he said, no, it's cool. You know? And so that's how I get around it. I try to extend mercy outward, and it lifts it a little.
I like that. Someone said, Alana, amen. Having rapture waiting tantrums is no fun.
Yes, it is. I had a great tantrum with him. Oh, I pouted like a 16-year-old girl. it's too long a story to tell. God put something in my lap. Okay, he gave me a blessing, but it was like a secret blessing, you know. And I was ready to leap, and I was ready to kind of take credit for his grace. And he was just like, really? I know I'm being your steward. So I don't want to tell the whole story. So. Yeah.
Why? You can.
No, it's wonderful, Alana. I'm glad you share that. It's...
Well, but here's how the story goes, and I've spoken a little about this with Jason because I caught you on the weekend show, I think, and we were, you know, doing something about getting through struggles, and I said, yeah, I was going through a deep struggle, and yada yada. The struggle continued into the week, and I had one of the days that you just go, wow, this is one of the top five, isn't it? Thank goodness no, I'm not in an emergency room or a police station because those are the only ones that are above this, you know. And I got home and I said, okay, God, let's give it the glory. I'm going to turn on the show and just dig it. I opened up my computer. There was an email there, everything I was worried about. Somebody was taking care
wow.
of me. And I just got blessed. And the next day I had to confront the person who was coming for me. And I'm going to admit it, I went a little block girl. You know, I was thinking, okay, Maybe.
So am I. So am I, Lana.
Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, when you go before judges and stuff, do not think about what you should say. And I'm trying to run that verse through my head. And on the other hand, I am holding her head over the lake of fire and say, look, stop now. I get there. Guess what? Her daughter had an accident. She broke her arm. She must leave. And I was like, Jesus, you took this girl out of my hands because you know I was coming. They would, it was going to take three police officers with billy clubs. Took her out of my hands. She said, why are you talking bad? I did it. Who are you? And now you're going to jump bad? You didn't do nothing. Warrior Bride. Warrior Bride doesn't do nothing. Guess who does it all? So I was like, yo, sit back, Warrior Bride, because I now have been thanked and humbled. And the waiting thing, you know, I feel like every second I wait, I learn something.
That's perfect right there, Lana. That is perfect. Because he's doing all those works in us. And sometimes, you know, if we're focused on, you know, the temper tantrums of the rapture temper tantrums we can go to, we can miss to see the works that he's doing. And that's the joy in it. It's, don't get me wrong, I want to go home now, but he's doing these works that it's just like, wow. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you're just showing me more and more and more. That's why I was stressing earlier. Really, really accept, guys, that you're a powerful warrior bride. Somehow, some way, ask him to show you how, because he's going to show you more.
This is true, and it's not, and believe me, it was not what I thought it was, because this warrior bride learned where her strength comes from, and it doesn't come from her.
Yep.
You know, it's not my show or anything, but I would definitely encourage people to, I know, but it's, Judy, she gives me, never mind. I was going to make a joke, but that wasn't going to work. Sorry, I'm the only one laughing at this now. It was funny, though. Okay, Judy gives me spankings when I interrupt her show, but, really call in, and just if you can, call in and share an experience where the Lord's really grown you. Since, you know, if you've really accepted that you're a powerful warrior bride, or you know, share that side of it, you know, of what he's been showing you, because I think there's more people out there that have accepted it, and they're being shown stuff, but nobody's talking about it, so maybe they feel kind of out of the loop. I don't want to share mine because I don't want to pollute it, but I know there's somebody else out there. I don't want to guide anybody on this one. The other one is what's come out of you just spending that quality time with the Lord and not seeking? You know, what's happened with you when you separate your time and go and sit with the Lord, and you know, whether it's peace or comfort? You know, when you share this stuff, guys, it really encourages others to do it. And you know, it's not always looking for an answer. It's just what you get out of it. So guys, please do call in, share it with Judy. Needs to hear this stuff too. I need to hear it. We all need to hear it. We all get blessed. I see Bill in here. I bet Raina could probably, Raina, I know you could call in and share something powerful. Lord showed me you, and you were just had fire all the way around you. So I know that you're that powerful warrior bride. So I know you've accepted it. Show how the Lord strengthened you in your life. You know, call in, share it. You know, Joe's sitting over there sick, guys. He could probably use a good story to make him feel powerful. You know how it is when you're sick. Let's think about poor little Joe right now, suffering his little room sick. He needs to hear a pick-me-up story.
Amen, Steve. Amen. Amen. So, Alana, did you have any more to add to your amazing warrior story?
No, only that I felt a bit self-conscious about saying I'm a warrior bride, but when the real thing went down, I saw that he was a warrior. And, you know, I was kind of along for the ride. So that might be very different from other people's experience, and I have to echo you, man. This is the first time I've shared something like that. And, you know, interesting. So come on. You know, we're going to be a community. We're going to, you know, we're stuck with each other for eternity. So come on.
Cool.
Don't make Alana ask you twice, guys. I'm telling you.
Well, I know people are going to call in because this is Jesus Christ is the pastor, and he doesn't lie. And he told me that there's everybody in the rapture-centric church is a leader, and he said this is a church of leaders, and he wants the world to hear what they have to say, and he wants to show them off, and he wants them to show him off, because many of these people, not everybody, but many of the people that are in this church have been shut up by the traditional church who hasn't let them talk, and they've had much to say. Now, this is a different church because Jesus Christ is a pastor. In a regular church, the minister will not let you speak unless you agree with him or unless you tell him what you're going to say. See, I don't know you. I don't know what you're going to say, but I trust our pastor, Jesus, to let you talk. And he wants to hear, and we don't always have to agree. See, this is church. It's a different way. We don't have to agree, but that's okay because we can still love each other, and we can share and learn from each other. And, you know, sometimes when you think you're not agreeing with somebody, God told me, uh-uh. He said, listen to what they're saying and then talk to me about it, because initially your instant thought might be, I don't agree with that. But if you just chill out and you let God speak to you, it might be that this person sharing has a revelation that you've never had before. And so if you ask God about it, he'll add to what they shared, and then you'll find out, wow, I did agree with them. But the problem is people get so offended so quickly, and they write people off, and they go on their little click, you know, and that's not what God's church it needs to look like. You know, he wants us to be known for our love for him first and foremost, and then our love one for another. Isn't that beautiful? I love having him as the pastor. I've never had this before, so it's really fun for me. So, hello.
No, it really is. You know, what Judy was talking about that right there. You don't have to agree with everything, but it's not in the sense of saying I don't agree with it and then fall off into some clique. It's saying that, hey, that's cool that God showed you that. He must be doing something cool with you there. That doesn't line up with what he showed me, and that he must be, you know, he's leading me down this path. And that's the respect of this church. That's what, to me, and from what the Lord showed me, that's what it is that, oh, Judy's been shown this, and Dustin's been shown that, and Katie's been shown this, and, you know, and he's showing us all those things, but that's where we all get to come together and share in our walks. You know, and that's where I think that I'm right with what Judy's is saying. Am I right on this, Judy? Is what you're saying is you don't have to say that, oh, well, he told you this, and he told me that, so I don't want to, but I don't want to cause any scuffle. You know, there's a big difference between calling in and going, that's not biblical, and you guys are wrong, and saying, God showed me something different, guys. Check this out, because that's exciting.
Yeah.
You're not going to cause anybody to stumble. You're not going to cause anybody to be led down the wrong path. You know why? Because God is holding each one of us in his hands. So free up. Let go of the chains. Call in. Really open up and share. Because Jesus has us all in his hands. And so you can say anything.
Yeah, I mean, Belle, you can call in and cuss me out. All right. Now, people are getting so desperate, Jason, they're wanting me and you to get in a pretend fight. I mean, we could. Oh, I have something cool to say, though. I want to tell you guys, I used to do that with my good friend Perry. We used to go in grocery stores at Safeway. Safeway's open 24 hours. This is when I lived in the city and worked in the city, and I was, you know, I was just young and in my 20s, and I was a wild girl. I'm an Apache Indian. So, Alana, I get my Apache Indian going, and I get a little crazy, okay? I know what you're saying. But anyway, we go to Safeway and have these fake fights, like we're husband and wife, and we'd be in like aisle 5, and we'd be like, we just pretend to have fights, and everybody would look at us, and it was really funny, and then we'd crack up and leave Safeway. We got a kick out of doing that. That was really fun. Have a fake fight in public. It's funny. Anyone ever do that? Okay, awkward. All right, so Jason, you know, I'm not going to have a fake fight with Jason to kill time. Oh, look, we have a caller. Hello.
Hello, this is Tori.
Hi, Tori. Now, Tori, where are you from? Tori, are you from Oregon or?
I'm Medford, Tori. So
you're different.
Well, there's two Tories apparently on the show, and I don't know where the other Tori is from. But
okay.
I've called in before, but a few days ago another Tori called in, and I was kind of surprised to hear another male Tori. You know.
That's such an unusual name. Now, were you the Tori that called in? Are you from Oregon?
I am.
Oh,
this is the Tori that blessed us all that one night.
Well, okay, well, yeah, maybe. But I don't know. There was a Tori that called in a couple days ago, and he read a word from God that, and so forth. Actually, I called in. I got home late from work. And Judy, you were talking about being blessed by Tori earlier. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't call in. And it's been like 2 weeks since I called in, and it wasn't all that awesome when I called in last time, so I don't know what you're talking about, you know. But anyway, so somehow, you know, we'll have to figure out which Tori is who and so forth. But
well, brother, I'm going to tell you that there's people that talk to me outside the show, and it is you. It's Tori from Oregon. And the night that you had called in, people talked to me outside the show talking about how blessed they were about what you had shared. And I know that's probably hard for you to swallow. But hearing a new voice and hearing the other people's walk is really what it's about. And I'm not blowing smoke, brother. You blessed a lot of people when you just called in and shared your heart. So God bless
you,
brother.
Well, so anyway, actually I felt very compelled to call in. However, I don't really have anything to say. It's just like, I just feel like maybe I should call, you know. And but I'll just tell you what is kind of going through my mind, you know. I listen to as many shows as possible. I listen to the morning show with Jason and Dustin, and I always get very blessed from that. Jason, you are a natural born preacher.
Thank you, brother. I had to listen to Judy on that. She was the one that originally told me that God was leading me to do it, and I thought she was a nut job when she told me that.
Well, I'll
but
tell
the Lord
you this,
does provide.
This is the honest truth. For me, you know, and we're all different, but for me, I don't think I've ever been blessed by any quote preacher as much as you. You preach the gospel that I believe, and I very much appreciate what you contribute.
Wow, brother, that's an honor. Thank you.
I appreciate what everyone contributes, certainly. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, what you say really touches my heart, and I am very thankful for that. anyway, so, you know, you were talking about your talking to God and how he's your best friend. That's exactly how I see it. I don't hear the God that maybe I was raised to, that I expected to hear. I just hear someone as if we're sitting on the dock of the bay, you know, and we're just talking, you know. You're talking about going down to the dam, and that's how it is with me. It's a wonderful experience.
it's that spending that one-on-one time and relaxed with him that brings you a lot of peace.
Yeah. And so also last time I called in, we talked about how that the people are changing very rapidly. The Spirit is really pouring out on people, and people's lives are changing at a faster rate than what you would normally expect. And that's so true with me. You know, in the last month, it's been so much easier for me to deal with life, my job. You know, there's a lot of impatience about translation or a rapture. But you know what? It's okay. You know, I feel so much peace that I'm okay, you know. I remember when I first heard Judy say and you say, you know, it could be a year or whatever. I was like, I was stunned. I was shocked. Like, oh, no, I can't deal with that. But once that inner peace comes in, you're just okay, you know. I don't want it to be a year. It's today, you know. And I live my life like it's today. Honestly, I can't even buy groceries for more than 2 days at a time. I keep thinking, why?
Chris from Ohio has that same problem. She's been in those frustrations. She's like, I want to buy, but I just don't think we're going to be here. I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I love everyone in this group. It's definitely a family. You know, when I get online, when I get on into the chat room, I'm always compelled to say, I'm so happy to be here. Well, I say that because I really mean it. It is very good to be in the group and feel the love. And it's just, it's very, well, yeah, it's good.
It really is. We love you too, brother. And it's nice to, you know, every time someone's, you know, when you had called in and shared and you'd said that you'd been listening, and you start knowing and finding out that there's more and more people out there that the Lord has touched and that he's reaching and that, you know, because you never know who you're walking around that's in the know on this, you know, that's following the Lord this closely. And whether you're walking out in the secular world or if you're in a church, you never know. And I'm glad to hear that the Lord is doing all those things in you, and I'm glad you feel comfortable here where you can call in and share. And I'm thankful for the Lord that he brought us all here together and that we all get to share our walks, and he blesses us all through us all.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you this. I logged in today, and I logged in. I cleared my cache last night because my computer is having some issues. And I hadn't done that in weeks, you know. So I logged in, and I, because my cache was cleared, I ended up logging in as a guest. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just log in for a guest, you know. And, of course, I got booted. And so I was
Judy's
like,
not a fan of guests.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. So I logged in again, or I logged in and put, you know, password in, and then went back into the room, and it says, you have been blocked. And my heart about dropped to my stomach.
Oh, no, Lord.
I was like, what did I do? So, anyway, so I had to sit and think about it for a while. And I was like, yeah, I think I need to. So for anyone that does this, so I closed the browser. I cleared the cache again. I went back to Blog Talk's root address, then logged in, and then went into the room, and it was okay. It's like, oh, whew. It was almost like that fear of one day, you know, there's no radio show and there's no video.
Yeah, there's been some people that wake up and they're like, I don't know where. Yeah, Christine from Atlanta talked about that and woke up and her kids weren't home and her husband wasn't home, and she changed some setting on her phone where she wasn't receiving texts, and she went into freak out mode because she thought she'd been left behind.
So I get in the chat room, and then Judy says, you know, hi, Toy. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, all right, it's all good.
I think that for some
family.
You know, Judy, I think it would be a good idea to make a video on how for people to how to create a Blog Talk Radio account. Because,
okay.
And I can do that with you if you want. I know you already know how to make an account, but I think some people get confused by it because it makes it look like you're trying to sign up to create your own radio show.
Okay.
Well, that's what you do. That's what basically what it says. You're going to create your own radio show, and then a couple days later, their Blog Talk is trying to encourage you to start broadcasting. So. Yeah, I definitely was wondering about that when I first signed up. But. Well, anyway, you know what? I love you guys, and I appreciate everything that everybody does and all the time they put in. So that's it for me. Thank you,
You're
guys.
Such a blessing, brother. We love you, brother. We're a big blessing. We love you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Wait, Tori. Tori?
Yes. Yes?
Would you want to give us a... what the heck? Administration? Oh, that's weird. Would you like to give us a version of your testimony? Maybe just tell us something nice that God has done for you that you really appreciate, or some special time with you and God. Just this, you know, just maybe the latest thing that he's done that touched your heart. Any story, any God story, anything.
Well, let me tell you what I see the most in my life. And that is, very recently, I suddenly don't have any hate in my heart. And not that I ever really did have hate in my heart, but suddenly, in the last month, I couldn't tell you anyone that I hated. I couldn't tell you an enemy of mine. And it's not even something that I asked for, really. It's just that I feel more love inside of me than I've felt in my entire life. And I can't say it's exactly something that I pursued. You know, I think that, you know, we talk about if you have a sin in your life, by developing the relationship with Christ, your life is going to change whether you asked for it to change or not. It's just that relationship that you have that creates change. I really don't think that people should ever be struggling with sin in their life. They should create the relationship, and the rest will begin to change the rest of your life. And
yeah,
that is what I really think is happening to me, and has happened to me.
Yeah.
It's feeling that peace and really feeling his love and,
you know, for
understanding,
you know,
that there's a...
I grew up a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. You know, grew up in Northern California in a little town, and, you know, went to church, and you know, it was all good. But, you know, over the years, it kind of gravitated back and forth. Never really left it, but not until, I mean, I don't have a date, but not until I accepted myself, and I accepted the Lord's power in my life, and stopped worrying about trying to be perfect, stopped looking at my scorecard, that change took place. I've been a Christian for 46 years. You would think in 46 years, after reading the Bible, and I went to Christian schools all my life. I went to Christian colleges. Nothing really changed in my life until just recently. You would think after all that time, I would have figured it out sometime sooner, but not until now. And I'm just glad that something did happen in my life.
Wow. Yeah, people are in the chat room are saying, yeah, Tori, it's about a real relationship with God. Praise God. It really is.
And
you sound like...
There's nothing like...
A lot.
Go ahead.
No, you sound like you have a lot of peace in your life.
I have a what?
I hear the peace, and I feel the
yeah.
peace coming. I feel it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely peace. definitely peace. And, you know, I can't stress how important it is, for me in my walk, how important it is to don't play games with God. Don't pretend you're anything that you're not. Just tell him like it is. Whatever it is you feel, whatever it is you think, just say it. You know, you're not impressing God. I mean, God knows who you are. Just say what's on your mind, no matter how heinous it is, just say it to him. It's so important. And that's Pat. I've heard Pat say that dozens of times. Pat is right on target. Pat is such a spiritual leader. I appreciate Pat so much as well.
Well, she's a sweetheart.
Well, Jason, do you have any more dentistry or Judy? I mean, I'm happy to call when I really have something to say. Most of the time, I don't really have anything to say. I just sit and say, hey, you know what? It's really great to be here, you know?
You know, the thing that's neat is when you call in and start to share is that sometimes the Lord just kind of takes over and really puts something out there, and you don't even realize it. And you don't even realize who needs to hear it. Judy was the one that really taught me that. It's like, you know, make another YouTube video. Just get on there and talk. The Lord will start speaking through you, I promise. And I was like, hey, that's really cool that he does that through you, but no, he doesn't. But the more you just let it go, and, you know, I'm not telling you to call in and have nothing to say or anything, but it's kind of neat what happens when you really just start opening up and sharing. And when you're sharing your heart, you're sharing your spirit, and someone else is either blessed by it or just comforted by it, or, you know, it's the little things. You know, we all think, oh, we got to do something big for the Lord. And sometimes it's doing something as simple as saying, Lord's putting it on me to call in and talk, and Lord, I don't know what to say, but okay, you know, I'm doing it. Unlike M. Bell, the Lord tells him to do it, and he argues with the Lord, and he won't call in.
Here's M. Bell right here. Go ahead. Hi, M. Bell.
All right, I'm out of here then. I'll pass the baton.
Take care, brother.
That was a pretty good transition, Jason.
Did you like that?
Almost like you've been taking community classes on radio hosting or something. Good job, buddy.
Well, not everybody can get into community college, Bell. Not everybody.
You know what? Let me tell you about a problem I have with my computer, okay?
Okay.
And it's kind of like problems we have in life. So the geniuses that created my keyboard put a power button right next to the enter button. And if you miss just a little bit, you hit this one button and it shuts everything down without warning, without anything.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest, it sounds like it's time to buy a new keyboard.
It's like, what kind of complete idiot designed a keyboard like this? And that's what life is like sometimes, man. It's like what we want to do and the exact opposite are sometimes so close to each other. It's just that little bit of a different length or measurement. And if you just do it a little bit wrong, it does the exact opposite of everything that you want.
Well, ain't that the truth, though?
So anyways, I wanted to talk about self-righteous people today.
Ooh, that's perfect. Okay.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Bell, before you start that, would you like me to mute Jason, or do you want him to talk?
No, you could leave him on. You don't have to mute him. That's okay. It's not my birthday.
Thanks, Bell. Appreciate it.
Okay,
wow,
take
I feel
it away,
so
Bell.
Powerful now.
Everybody's unmuted, but I'm going to tell you this. I've noticed this about Bell. If anybody talks, he is very polite. He will not talk over anything. So everybody says, please do not interrupt Bell when he's talking, okay? Just don't. So everyone's unmuted that's on the phone. But I'm asking nicely that you would not interrupt our very most precious guest, because I don't know how and why, but if you say something and you interrupt, he stops talking. Okay, go ahead, Bell. Take it away.
You're such a teacher. It comes through in everything you do. It's like... Anyways, anyone who's been around for a while has probably come across the different ministries. Like, I know Johnny Baptist is one of them, and some of these other radio preachers, and a lot of the condemnation comes out of these. Like, they teach you could easily lose yourself, and you have to ask for forgiveness every single day. If you wake up in the morning and you don't pray a prayer of repentance, you sin and then you die, they say, oh, you're going to hell. So they make salvation and forgiveness completely dependent upon your specific actions every single day. And they say, oh, you have a tattoo, you're evil. You smoke, you're evil. If you cuss, you're evil. You celebrate Christmas. And a lot of people follow this. And a lot of people, even new Christians, they're like, oh, my gosh, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to be holy? And they always come up with these catchphrases, like straight from the pit of hell. And this is such a, it's such a bogus term. And when people use it, they say, oh, straight from the pit of hell. Oh, you know, false prophecy, you're straight from the pit of hell. So they come up with all these catchphrases and slogans, and when people hear them, they don't even think. They just agree, oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds right. And this is like one of the righteousness. The other one that pokes its head is always not me but them. And if you listen to these people, it's always like, I'm going to heaven now, I'm pure now, but I used to look at porn. Or, I'm holy now, but I used to smoke cigarettes. These people who are self-righteous, they always put themselves in the right camp and then demonize what they used to be. But if you look at the Bible, if you look at what we see, I mean, if there is somebody in the church and they look at pornography every single day, I don't think anybody would say, oh, that's a man after God's own heart. But if you look at the most famous example in the Bible, King David, I mean, his life wasn't just about, you know, Bathsheba and murdering hundreds or thousands of people. You know, throughout his whole life, it was one wife, another wife, a concubine. This guy had, like, you know, 30, 40 wives plus concubines. So he was deep in rebellion and sexual sin according to the laws of God. But yet people always say, oh, David, a man after God's own heart. King David, where it talks about in the Bible, says they measure every other king according to whether he did right in all his ways like King David or if he did wrong. So we see this whole idea and perception we have about what it means to be a person after God's own heart. And what it means to be holy, if we look at the Bible, we see a completely different idea to what these self-righteous preachers teach.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me add the catch. Let me add the little condition. But I'm not telling people to go out and sin.
No, we understand. We understand. We know you're not saying that.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, brother. I was gonna pipe in, but you have more, so I want you to keep going. This is good stuff, brother.
Yes.
Well, no, it's just, you know, going through different communities and churches and message boards. You'll come across all the different good aspects and all the different bad aspects of Christianity, and you know, you kind of have to not hold on too firmly to a lot of things in order to look at them correctly. You know, it's like the book of Ecclesiastes. It says it in a weird way. It says you shouldn't live too holy and you shouldn't be too evil. You know, you don't want to die before your time. And, you know, you don't want to live a crooked life. And then it says you should be able to hold one thing and not let go of the other. Now, this passage is not talking about, it's not talking about sinning a little bit and being a fake holy person, a fake righteous person. It's talking about, you know, we should be able to hold on to the truth about Jesus came as a man and he died for us. He loves us. He wants us to forgive other people. We should be able to hold on to these But we should also be able to hold on to the mysteries and not let go of those. Maybe speaking in tongues is real. Maybe visions are real. Maybe someone can have a prophetic word from God that isn't 100% correct, but they were actually hearing. And it's always when people let go of one thing that problems come. That's when you get cults. That's when you get self-righteousness. I mean, the people are they're the Pharisees, and they're even saying the same things. Oh, this person has a demon. This person's a child of the devil. This person is committing blasphemy. These are the exact same accusations they were able to get Jesus. And it's kind of ridiculous because they look like robots. They look like carbon copies of the Pharisees from the time of Jesus.
Yes, they do.
Amen. Amen. Keep going.
So let me think on a positive note, which I don't normally do. Hold on a sec.
Well, before you get the positive note, I'd like to kind of pipe in here if I can, Bill. You know, something that I've done before is, you know, you really blame the churches for not, you know, you blame the lukewarm churches because, oh, they don't teach, you know, obedience, or they either do it too light or too hard. And it's like, you know, what are the masses going to be happy with? You know, and really a church is just there, a pastor, a preacher is just there to teach the word of God. But how can he tell you what to do in your walk when that's your walk? And the responsibility, we always love to point the finger, but the responsibility lies on us to seek the Lord ourselves. And a minister is there to enhance that through teaching of the scriptures and whatnot. But, you know, it doesn't say go to a church, listen to a preacher, let him tell you everything you're supposed to do. It says for you to seek the Lord. And everybody's pointing the finger at everybody. I liken it to the same of the economic collapse where, you know, the banks crashed and everybody's pointing at Wall Street. But it was all Americans that went out and took out a second and third mortgage and bought into stuff that they couldn't afford and all that stuff. And everybody wants to point the finger away. But it is our responsibility to seek that personal relationship with the Lord. And it is tough, though, Bell, because when you're talking about how they say, oh, don't do this and don't do that, it's just, you're right. The Pharisees were attacking Jesus, saying the same things. Oh, you can't do this and oh, you can't do that. And they knew all the rules, but they had no relationship. They did it for their authority and their dominance over people as opposed to for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I will let you say something positive.
If I had to sum up people in the RCC in one word, I don't. Jason would probably be relationship. Judy would always be love. I don't know. Katie might be airplane. Sorry, Katie. And Luca would probably be naked.
Oh, Luca's always naked.
I think those, because it's funny because that's what y'all are always talking about. If you want to teach him on relationship, Jason will be talking about that for like 2 hours straight.
Amen.
And it's all these love coming out of Judy's mouth. Love, 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 love. That's all she ever talks about.
Well, she's a hippie, Belle. She's from California. Makes her a hippie.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to corner Belle. Belle, what would we describe you as? Bible thumper. Thumper.
Pharisee.
Completely, I would say disillusioned. That's the one word I would use.
Disillusioned's a good word.
Just completely disillusioned with this life, with this world, with expectations, just with everything.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but that's just,
Bell,
I'm just a very negative person, so.
You just call it how it is, Belle. You just call it how it is.
You know, Belle, what you think is negative, Listen, you'd be surprised. God made you the way you are, Belle, so. So I think you should give us a preach on disillusionment right now. Continue. We need to hear you. Continue.
Yeah, Belle, well, pull a rabbit out of your hat.
You know, every relationship has different phases. You know, you have the infatuation, then you have, say, the honeymoon, then you have complete and total blindness, you know, for a while, and then comes the reality phase. And it's the same with your Christian walk for most people. When your eyes are open and you're enlightened, everything seems amazing, all the colors seem brighter, and the whole world seems like it's a beautiful place. Everything has a purpose. You have a wonderful God looking out for you. But soon you realize the scripture that the Bible says, God rejoices more over one who is lost than the rest who are already saved. And it says, you know, Jesus Christ will go out and leave the 99 sheep on the hillside and look for the one lost. And the disillusionment comes for a lot of people when they feel like they're the 99 sheep that have been left on the hill waiting while God is going out after the lost one. And, you know, a lot of that, they call that the dark night of the soul, or the crucible, or trial by fire to go through. And there's all kinds of stupid catchphrases. Oh, trials and tribulations can either make you bitter or they can make you better. It's like, come on now. I don't want to hear any of those stupid cliches. But a lot of people stumble in their walk when they go through these trials. Like me, I got disabled 5 years ago, and I can trace many of the bad things that have happened to me throughout my life. Trying to treat other people the way I wanted to be treated. To me, trying to do the right thing the way I would want other people to treat me. I mean, my life would be totally different if I treated everybody like garbage. But even though I know these choices I made right make the consequences better, and that's where a lot of the solution comes from. Because we live in a world where even if we try our best, bad things can happen all the time. Even if we try to help so many people, there is still so many things that do not go the way we want. But the truth is that all those wonderful things aren't going to be revealed until Jesus comes back. You know, the Bible says that all the good things we do will be like gold, iron, silver, no matter how hard. And all the bad things will be burnt up in fire. And the fire is what is going to reveal our good works.
That's a neat way of putting it.
But right now,
I like that.
You know, right now a lot of them are concealed. And they're concealed in disillusionment. They're concealed in anger. They're concealed in bitterness. And it's not until those things are burnt up when we're freed by the transfiguration, by becoming holy, by becoming perfect, that they'll be revealed. And so you see a lot of people right now that may not seem holy, may not seem wonderful. You know, a lot of the good and godly things are, they're just concealed.
Okay.
I mean, you can't all be like Pat, who's always happy and smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
But it's
no,
good
but
to have
sometimes, sometimes life is you eating a crap sandwich and you take a bite and you realize you have to eat the whole thing. And you can't smile and be fake about eating a crap sandwich. Sometimes you just got to be like, yep, this sucks, but I know there's going to be light. I know the sandwich doesn't last forever, so I'm going to go ahead and finish it.
That's one way to put it.
It's the classy way to put it.
I hate
Amen.
To take a new call. Belle, don't you shut up by any means, but 770, welcome to Rapture Centric Radio. What's your name?
Christine.
It's just me. I'm just calling from or listening from a different phone. This is good. Thank you, Embel. You're blessing everybody. Hello. Hi.
Did you hear? You're blessing everybody. Chris is right. You're blessing everybody. And continue, please. Continue.
Well, one of the things I have trouble with is when people talk about breathing. I know yesterday someone mentioned breathing, like they said what gives them comfort is if they think about like every single breath they take is the moment, you know, just back. And someone mentioned it in today. But, you know, the problem we have as watchers is we're paying attention to every breath. Other people are living, but we're watching. And the difference is there are things we do naturally without thinking about it, like blinking and breathing. And if everyone listening would think about blinking, it's going to mess them up. When you consciously are aware of every time you blink or every time you breathe, it throws off the natural process. It throws off the natural rhythm. And as watchers, we're thrown off. We're not like the rest of the world. And that's why the natural way of life is to be blind, to not be awake, to not pay attention, to believe all the nonsense that is thrown at you. But when we have to pay attention, when we're driven to focus on each blink and each breath and each moment, of course we're going to be thrown off. And that's going to look different for all people. And that's why Katie's parents freaked out on her. That's why they're like, what are you doing? You're wrong. You know, you need to go to someplace special or you need help or something. And, I mean, that's what we should expect. And you could see that in the newer people who try to wake up their family members. I've been trying to talk to my family members about 9/11, about the NWO, about the rapture for years. And now I know, just, you know, it's like, I'm not picking that fight because it's like it's like poking at a hornet's nest, you know? It's like stirring up a beehive.
Yep. But it's okay. Maybe it needs to be stirred up.
No, I think you make a lot of good points through that, Belle. You're trying to interrupt the natural flow of things, and you're looking at every little detail, and then you get surprised when other people aren't looking at every little detail, and it's something you have to be led to do. It's something that comes through walking with it.
Hey,
when's
Bill? I have a question.
What's
for
that?
You, Embel.
Okay.
I get this. Your nature is not, your nature is not one to want to have stupid arguments. I can tell that by the way you do your channel. I can tell that just by how you are. You don't like wasting your time in stupid arguments, and you don't like raising a hornet's nest. But the very fact of who you are and how you live is going to it's going to cause a lot of problems. And I see you not wanting that, you know. It comes with a lot of hassle. You know, I remember in the beginning when you used to inbox me, you're like, no, don't. I don't need the hassle. I don't need these people breathing down my back, you know, because you've been, you know, the religious hypocrites have tried to beat down your door too. But, you know, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying that. But I do see you as someone who – has a lot to teach the religious hypocrites. It's just that it comes with a price. And, you know, your nature is not to fight. You're not really a fighter, but any of us that are following Christ are fighters because people are going to get mad because if you really say what Jesus is really saying, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest. And what I've really learned in these last few weeks and since God fell on John and I've had to say ridiculous things that God has me say that freak me out, is that, you know, after a while, after you've been beat up, like, for a good solid, you know, 10 days straight and had so many threats on you, it's all the same after a while. It's just like, it's almost like it's a joke. It's almost like it's not even real. That's kind of how I look at it now. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying, Bill. Can you help me out?
No. Yeah, no, it is a joke. It's a, you know, it's an evil spirit. It's a religious spirit, self-righteous spirit, and it's really easy to spot because you hear anger and bitterness, and you hear everything but love in the person's voice, you know, and that's why I've tried to listen to some of these rebukers and just listening to their voice and seeing the expressions on their face, you know. It's like, this is not God. This is not Jesus. And, you know, it's not that I don't like fighting. It's just being right is different now. You know, winning, we're not supposed to win arguments. We're supposed to win people's hearts, you know.
Yeah.
Loving people.
Amen.
I mean, I had to, when these people rebuked me, some of them, I wrote most of them letters telling them that we should have unity and love each other, and we could bless YouTube by coming together and praying together, and, you know, unity is where power is going to come from. And I got the most vile, evil things come back. And then it's just like, okay, you know, it's like a, you know, they just revealed themselves completely for what and who they are. And some of them I even talked to before, and they're your friends until they realize, you know, who you are or that you belong to RSCC. You know, some of them are like, oh, that's great. Thanks for calling. Thanks for talking. And then, you know, a few minutes later, they're like, you're going to hell. You're an evil person. You need to repent of your witchcraft. And it's just like, it's not this again. It's like the Jews and the Samaritans, you know. It's like, oh, you can't talk to the Samaritans, or you can't talk to these people. All of these people are evil. So, yeah.
You know what
the whole idea with it is, do not answer a fool according to their folly, and do not throw a pearl before a pig. And you could avoid most fights just by living by those two rules.
Yeah, but the whole purpose is not, you know, we don't need to avoid a fight. We just, the very nature of who we are is going to cause a fight. It's just that, listen, do you realize the power of unity the rapture-centric church has? They used to come after us individually and go to your certain webpage and be a jerk to you. Now, so many people have united under one banner, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, which is RCC, we're rapture-centric, you know, and now that we're banned together, they're, like, losing their power. I don't get as many people hating on me because they're like, well, they're going to go to M. Bell's page, and he's an RCC member because, you know, Bell's just paid his membership dues. He sent me $2,000, so he's good. He's in good standing with the church.
Oh, he got the deluxe package. Good one, Bell.
Yeah, and you know, Bell, Roman in the chat room is saying, I love you, Bell. You're an amazing teacher. You really are clever, and you really are. And here's the thing. It's like, I really hope that you share more, Bell, because I feel like some of these religious hypocrites have sort of shut you up just because you don't want to fight. But I really wish you would just come on here and preach some fiery stuff like you're doing now. You don't have to preach fiery because that's just you. When you have a calm, normal voice, there's fire. And see, the thing is, there's so much love here in RCC and everyone's band. There's like 10 people that have YouTube channels that are a part of RCC, so they can't even pick us off one at a time like they used to. See, they picked me off in the beginning. Judy, John, you know, the Judy Smith channel got picked off. The Lord made us get off, okay? But now that we're all united together, Dustin, Ryan, and there's a bunch of us, we don't all especially agree on every point. Who does, okay? Not everybody. I don't know if M. Bell thinks Obama's the Antichrist. You know, we don't have to agree on everything. But, you know, we all love Jesus, and he's our pastor, and we're coming together under one roof, and that's the rapture-centric church. And this is the place to set the record straight. And I've noticed that there's power in this unity because they can't really pick us off. There's too many of us. It's not just the Rapture Kitty. It's not just, you know, Jason Chambers' YouTube channel. It's not just Michelle's or Love Revelations' YouTube channel. It's all of us together, you know, Dustin Wright and everybody, even if you don't have a YouTube channel, but it's everybody who loves his appearing coming all together under one roof, and God decided to call it the Rapture-Centric Church, and we are standing firm. And together we can stand against that religious spirit because it's nothing more than the devil. It's not our brothers and sisters, as we well know. But anyway, I don't know, Belle. I'd like to hear you continue to preach because you're not going to get, like, we have each other's back here. We have each other's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Christine, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I was texting Jason before about all these songs like Power Rangers and what was it, Jason, like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and like Transformers and all these things were coming to my head like bam, 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 like you're unified together and then you go out, you have your separate like positions and everything like that, but then you come back and you unify together. Was just having all these like 80s like Charlie's Angels and all this like these tunes in my head today that God was giving me. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I was adding that.
For Bella would be the Powerpuff Girls.
Can you hear me?
Hey, by the way, Christine, I had you unmuted the whole time. Okay.
Oh, okay, no, I was just listening. I love listening to everybody, but it was so funny when you guys had kept repeating about the unity. I was like, I just texted Jason, like, everything I could, that was coming to my mind. Like, again, I don't know, was it Transformers? What was it, Power Rangers? I was like, I know these sound corny. I was like, but these, like, theme songs are, like, running through my head for Rapture-Centric, you know, church and just the different missions that we have, but that we come back and unify together. And that there's power in that, and that's the point of a lot of these, like, shows that we're on that, you know, I was just, anyway, it's kind of fitting.
No, I think it's awesome because it shows how we're all unified. We all have different walks. We all have different strengths, different purposes, and that's what he's raised us up for is all of those. And, I mean, you can relate it to Transformers group or the A-Team or whatever. But yeah, I think it's amazing. I mean, I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Can I say something, Jason? It's me, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey. Yeah, one thing I wanted to say with the conversation going on tonight, my thing with, you know, I'm always talking about gifts and stuff. For me, it's one way, like, I had someone contact me recently, a good friend on YouTube, actually, and they're like, well, Keith, I can't believe you listened to the RCC because there's so many demons there, and I heard that, you know, they're all full of it and you're going to get the demons in you and blah, 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 blah. So, like, my response back, though, is that, you know, the most powerful gift that we can have from the Lord today, and Jesus has said this in many prophecies as well and visions and stuff, is the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is, like, it's a gift that every Christian claims they have, but I have a super powerful gift of discernment, and when I scan other people's gifts of discernment, I'd say less than 1% of the church has it. Because that's how scary it is. And they're all running around going, I can discern this, I can discern that, but they're not. That's the reason why they're calling the RCC, you know, of the devil. And then other ministries are saying they're of God when they're not. You know what I'm saying? They're all confused. And then they're jumping on board with everyone who everyone's, oh, I like this one. Oh, I do too. So they all jump on board. And then next week, everybody's jumping on board against the same minister. I've seen them switch sides back and forth, you know. The key is,
well, if you can't be uncomfortable, you'll never grow.
You got to ask
it's
God.
It's not about what
increase,
makes you feel great.
Exactly. You got to ask God to increase your gift of discernment every day. In these end times that we live in, it's the most important gift you can have. Now, discernment means that you can see, you can sense the spirit realm, sense angels, sense demons, and I always can sense people's spirit as well. That's a whole other gift off of discernment. I can see into people's spirit and what's going on with them. Like, when I watch YouTube videos and I listen to people talk on RCC, word by word, I can very easily discern, extremely easily, what's going on, word by word. And then stuff that I don't like, I just discard. And that's what I told my friend. I said, listen to the RCC. If you don't like something, just discard it and take what is, you know,
take what you're feeling is right from God and learn from it. Enjoy it. That way you can listen. Because believe me, I listen to hundreds of videos a night. And if I took some of the subscribers and got rid of them because of one video they had that was bad, sure, I'd have to delete all of them, okay? Because not everyone's right on. So I just discard what I don't. I'm listening word by word. My discernment's really strong. I'll be like, okay, this is good, that's not good. And I just discard and go forward and get. That way I can get something from everything. You should be able to get good stuff of the Lord from every kind of thing out there, you know, and not just like, because there's very few of you be all no, all yes, you know. So that's why my thing for the viewers and everyone out there is to ask God to increase your gift of discernment so you really know what is from God and what is not. And remember, it's not going to just be yes or no. It'll be like, even this word is good, that word is not, this one is word by word sometimes, you know. But discernment is a wonderful gift that we should all be working on. And the RCC is no different. I want everyone to increase that gift because it's a wonderful gift that you can actually, when you get really, really good at discernment, then you can really sense, you know, angels around you, and you can start hearing messages from, like when I praise God, I can see the throne open up. I can see God, Father God up there coming straight down with his energy. And I can see when it's closed and how much, that's all discernment. And, you know, anyone that keeps asking God for discernment will get it, and they'll be able to do that and so much more, you know.
Sure.
So the main thing to me is, like, you know, always just discern what you're getting, and that way you can enjoy every ministry out there and get something from it, you know.
Well, you know, seeking the Lord and asking for discernment is a lot different than saying, oh, I know this and I know that. You know, I can discern anything in my flesh, but do you have the patience to discern things in the Spirit?
Yes, exactly. And it can be tricky, you know, because you've got your thoughts, you've got God's thoughts, and you've got the enemy's thoughts, you know. So you're already dealing with three going on there, plus you got what you're watching in front of you or listening to, you know. But I'm all about gifts. You know me, whenever I talk in here, I'm all about expanding your gift, and that's one gift that every one of us has a little bit of, and every one of us could increase. And it's powerful, boy, when you get the gift. And remember, with the gift of discernment, is going to be with your senses. So sometimes you will sense something's wrong with something someone said, or you can see a vision, or you'll hear something in your ear that from the spirit realm that said that wasn't good, or you'll feel it. So if you're a feeler, either you're a feeler or a thinker. Some people are feelers, so they're immediately going to feel uneasy about it. And some people are thinkers, so they're going to go, okay, logically that didn't, you know, that doesn't sound right. Or they just know it's not right. So that's the thinkers. So you've got your thinkers, your feelers. So you're going to go through one of your senses. So always be aware that you can use different senses to discern. And that way it really expands your whole gift in the spirit world. Because when you're hearing God, you can hear him and you can hear him and see him and feel him and know him. It's like a movie, you know.
Keith, wouldn't that be the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be the Holy Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit.
Well, you can sense, but I'm talking about apart from the Holy Spirit. You're going to get stuff from the Holy Spirit, but you're also going to get stuff directly from Father God. You can discern something different from Father God and something different from the Holy Spirit and something different from Jesus.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a weird way. That's one way of putting it.
When I see Father God on the throne, like when the throne opens up and his energy comes out, it is an ancient energy. When God was in my room 3 years ago, and he said something in a loud, audible voice that I could hear with my regular ears.
Wow.
He said, I am God, and I already healed you. And it was the most ancient energy and voice. It's different.
We don't have 50 seconds left. Jason will be hosting on Sunday night. On the weekends, on Saturday, he just has to be somewhere. So I would really like for you to call in, Keith, and share. And because we're about the thing's going to cut off now, so we just got some fire going, and now we have to end it, which is a bummer. So everyone, turn on the bright thing.
Love everybody. Love you guys. Love you, Pat. Love you,
Jason. Love you, sweetie. Love everybody. We'll talk tomorrow morning.
Love you guys. Have a good night.
Very nice. Love you guys. All right. Bye.
You too. Bye, bye, Keith. Bye, everybody. Love you guys. Love you.
STL, Spirit of the Bride, say,
we sound like kitty cats.
See you. We want to
kiss
you, Faye.
Oh, absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Grandma Pat.
Bye, sweeties. Love yous. Bye-bye.